Hello again, Gooners. Okay, on this particular podcast, it's going to be all or nothing. Just talking about what I've just seen. Actually, a bit of binge watching if ever you wanted it. So yeah, it's now out on Amazon Prime. We've been waiting for this a long time. And was it worth the wait is the first question. And yes, I think in a word, I could say definitely worth the wait. A bit like, I just needed a few more drums. I don't know why I felt like that, but here we go. I just needed that cymbal. That was what it was. So yeah, I also, what I really need to do is think very carefully about what I'm going to say, because it's extremely unscripted today. You might say, so what's new there? Nothing. Nothing new there at all. I bet the music starts again. Yeah, there we go. So it's not going to continue forever. That's the good news. But yeah, so you're getting two blasts of it today instead of just the one. Just type in something to get some sort of idea about what I'm going to do up. Yes, so there we go. Twice around. So sometimes don't play at all. And then today what we get three times. Okay, well, talking of three, though, that's how many episodes we got of All or Nothing. And the first thing that came to mind when I started watching it was how much abuse a football manager gets. I shouldn't find that surprising. The vehemence of some of the comments were just beyond belief. But anyway, as I said before, it was definitely an episode worth waiting for. We don't really, as a football fan, you don't really want just only good news. If you want only good news, you need to follow a different league. Because in the Premier League, for most fans, it's not like that, apart from maybe Manchester United in their heyday, Liverpool before that. But anyway, the opening, the first episode, I thought mostly it felt like it was about Bukayo Saka at the start. The episode focused on his missed penalty for England and the racial abuse he suffered thereafter. I think one of the things I really liked about the show was the contrast when there was Saka looking at a wall of appreciative messages. I found it quite touching, actually. Mostly it seemed real. Occasionally the conversations, particularly in the canteen, if you can call it that, restaurant, a little bit stilted, to say the least. Although Saka is, when he talks about things like being recognised in the supermarket, even though he had his hoodie on and his mask on, everybody knew who he was. And I think initially, I'm sure he wouldn't change things apart from the missed penalty, but I'm sure he wouldn't change anything. And he knows that's character building, which is why I'm expecting another good season from Saka. I wasn't sure. I thought he'd be exhausted last season. How he managed to play so well after everything that happened is beyond me, but long may it continue. Anyway, I think he seems quite natural in front of the cameras. Obviously, he's had a lot more media exposure than some of the others, whereas the others, they're trying to look natural and it doesn't quite work for me. It's not to say that they're being fed lines. It may not be the case. Some of you that may have listened to this show a number of times might know that I've had some experience of being that side of the camera for reality TV, and sometimes they feed you lines. Sometimes they set up situations that are going to be dramatic. Obviously, for the first episode, I didn't need to do that very much because so much drama. I think the first episode is one of the best things I've seen, really. Even though it was mostly bad news until the very end when they managed to turn it around. But anyway, as I said, I think the decision to have All or Nothing and their cameras behind the scenes was a good decision overall, because any broken bridges between fans and the Cronkies in particular, I think, will be mended. As regulars of this podcast will know, I've never been personally in the Cronky out camp, because I don't really mind the nationality of the owners. So what if Americans call football soccer? Is that a crime? I don't think it is. Anyway, they've injected another 100 million into the club this season. It was 150 roughly last season. And they certainly backed Arteta when things were going against him. Josh Kroenke comes out of this really well, I think. He seems really supportive behind the scenes. He's is ready to put his arm around people when they're struggling, and they supported Arteta to the hilt after that terrible opening last season. But let's put things into context. Of course, last season, most Arsenal fans expected to beat Brentford, even though Brentford away was always going to be a tricky game, a bit like Palace away for this particular campaign. But the games that followed, Chelsea at home, they were European champions. That was never going to be more than 1 point, really. Chelsea this season don't look quite the same proposition, but last season they were quite formidable, as were Liverpool even more so. So there was a possibility, of course, getting 9 points out of three games, but it seemed unlikely. Getting zeros was a bit hard to take. And the fans made that pretty clear as well. But I kept the faith, actually. I did keep the faith in Arteta. I've always believed in him. And so does Josh Kroenke. So that was really pleasing to see. He also put his arm around Saka and told him he's got a bright future when he returned to the training ground after his England duty in the Euros. So, I think he's doing, from what I could see anyway on the show, he's doing all the right things. The three defeats didn't feel like the right things were happening. But as I said, to me, the worst thing was the abuse he was getting with fans surrounding his car, internet trolling. Aaron Ramsdale, even some of the comments that he got were just beyond the pale, really. I was really shocked at some of the comments. Hadn't even kicked a ball for Arsenal, and he was already being written off by some of the fans. So that just goes to show what some fans know or don't know. By the end of this episode, anyway, it was all about Ramsdale. His family more or less took over the narrative. We saw how they backed him all the way. Viewers even got a chance to see Ramsdale's dad's hat, which looks a bit like Fez. So I thought that kind of exemplified what a fun-loving family they are. And I think the great thing that came out of this this particular episode was the fact that the love projected by the club and the team seems built on it, really. And one of the key scenes, and it came over much better when I actually saw the episode in full. When I saw just a clip of it, I was thinking this is extremely unconvincing. But Arteta's speech before the match against Norwich, when basically it was more of a must-win game than I can think of in living memory, with Arsenal bottom of the table, equal bottom with Norwich. Norwich was slightly above, apparently, because I think they'd scored a goal, whereas Arteta's team hadn't. And Arteta tells the team about his heart condition as a baby and how a high-performance team operated on him and saved his life. And then using the flip chart, he actually graphically portrays how low he felt after the Manchester City defeat. And I think, I'm not really sure. I mean, all the players looked really fully focused. I wasn't quite sure where he was going with that. But I think the most effective thing that he said were two words: thank you. By saying that, it just made the players feel appreciated by the manager, and I don't think that was a bad thing at all. He also relieved the pressure on them, saying he'd take the flak, or words to that effect, before that Norwich game. And they were under severe pressure, and Oba managed to get the goal in the 1-0 victory. Tomiyasu and Ramsdale made debuts. Ramsdale obviously wasn't expected to get thrown in, but thrown in he was, and there was a magic moment, and I'd sort of forgotten about it a little bit when Ramsdale was in his penalty area, showed such supreme confidence dummying an attacker. I thought it was high risk, obviously, but it gave the team a lot of confidence to see a young man come in and perform like that. So, yeah, he had a pretty good game. So episode two, I couldn't wait for it, so I had to watch it straight away. This episode, even though it was about the London Derby and that, you would expect would be more fun, more dramatic, Not sure it was, though. I don't know why, but I suppose it's just the way... There was just so much in the first one. I think it's hard to beat the first episode. So the second episode for me wasn't... It's still good, but it wasn't the same level. And it begins with Oba getting his hair cut. So we find out a bit about him. He gets a star shape shaved into the side of his head in honor of his late grandfather. And my feelings about Oba was really a class act. All the footage of him playing, he just looked, for somebody who gets dropped, he looked pretty good. Obviously, we know about him missing chances later on, and that does happen in episode three. But he seemed desperate to score against Spurs, even though he'd done it before. He said he knew what it felt like and wanted to experience it again. But before the Spurs game was the little matter of a 400 odd mile trip to Burnley, which is never a walk in the park. But Odegaard came up with a beautifully taken free kick, so that ended the resistance of the Clarets up there. And then it was on to the Spurs game. And I think the major coup by Arteta there was bringing in the official photographer, Stuart McFarlane, into the dressing room. He made a motivational speech to the players. And again, love was a message there. It was clear to see the team were playing with heart. On that note, Arteta drew a diagram of a heart next to a brain, and I was looking at the players' reactions, and some of them looked like they were trying not to smile, but at the same time they knew that they shouldn't, because the cameras were on them, and how seriously they'd have taken that without the cameras there is another story. But they looked very focused and attentive, at least. And I think the message is right. Obviously, having a brain and a heart, there are two things you need, metaphorically speaking, especially in a London derby. He had the fans behind, and he said it's that kind of triangle between the three that makes you win. And it was a very positive speech, particularly from Stuart McFarlane, who explained how much he loved the club and loved the players. And I think the passion was transmitted to the players, which helped them to absolutely smash Spurs 3-0 in the first half. Obviously, second half wasn't so good because Tottenham pulled one back through Son. My thoughts were, though, I must admit, a little bit not cynical, perhaps, but the only negative thought I had after seeing that episode was, I wonder if Arteta said the same thing about the brain as well as the heart for the Spurs away game. It'd be interesting to see that episode and compare it to this one, because he said all the right things, as did Stuart McFarlane, but I wonder what went wrong against Spurs at White Hart Lane. I didn't think it was a terrible performance going back to last season, but Holding lost his head. Some fans haven't forgiven him for it. Me personally, I have, because I think he's an asset. And again, I've always been a big fan of Holding. I think he can play in big games, but he just didn't play well in that one, purely because he lost his head. So anyway, at the end of the game, it was great to see Tierney, Holding, and a number of other players celebrating wildly after winning that game. And everyone was singing Saka and Emil Smith Rowe to the Status Quo song Rocking All Over the World. But really, the star was Stuart McFarlane. And apparently, that clip has gone viral, so good luck to him. He's going to have to live with being a celebrity now. And then next up, the next episode, and that's the only one you can watch in this week, at least next week, and I guess another three are coming out, don't know. But episode three, anyway, what can I say about that? More drama than episode two, I felt, because episode two just really covered the Burnley victory, 1-0, and the 3-1 victory over Spurs. But this one had more games in it. Not that you see all the goals. You see some of them from different angles to what you normally see. But I was dreading it because of thinking the Everton game was one of the worst games. But then looking back on it now, perhaps it wasn't. It was just the manner of the defeat, losing a couple of goals in the last 10 minutes, was pretty hard to take. The most memorable aspect of that game, the way it was covered by Amazon Prime Video, was the fact that Arteta said post-match, he kept his speech very brief, and he simply said, the reaction is too late. I think at that point, the player that had taken it most to heart was Ramsdale, because he'd let in two late goals. They weren't his fault, but he was upset about it, and he gets upset about every single goal conceded. It looks like you can see why he's so good, because every goal that he concedes hurts him so much. Anyway, Arteta walked out of that post-match meeting, if you will, and just said it was too late. And he said he didn't want to say anything more because words spoken in the heat of the moment could be regretted afterwards. The real drama, though, in episode 3 is Oba was dropped for a number of games. Arsenal suddenly started struggling for form. And that was following getting whacked 4-0 by Liverpool at Anfield. So yeah, this was quite an interesting episode, actually. Maybe I gravitate to bad news more than good news. I don't know, but I found this one quite interesting. Not as good as episode 1, though. The thing is, I'm just going back to that Liverpool game. Arsenal started quite well, and that was my recollection. They did start quite well, first 20 minutes. I thought they matched Liverpool. But looking back on that game, I think Arteta made a major mistake by reacting the way he did on the touchline to that foul on Tomiyasu. It was extremely dangerous. Mane arguably should have been sent off for that. But his subsequent row, that is Arteta's subsequent row with Klopp, really got the crowd going. They were pretty quiet up to that point, and that was a turning point. And I think Arteta should have known better. But anyway, most of that episode 3, focuses not so much on the Everton game, but more on Kieran Tierney and Nuno Tavares. And Tavares's mistakes at Anfield really were costly. Obviously, not just to the team, but also to his place in it, because Tierney managed to claw his way back into the side there after a spell on the sidelines with injury. The Portuguese was pretty quiet. Clearly, Arsenal worry about that, which has made me think that he's been sent out on loan to build up his character, because that's one of the things that's come out of this documentary, is that's an Arsenal ploy to try and build up the character of a player. For example, Smith Rowe, he was sent out on loan, I think it was to Huddersfield, but he was told that it's not about watching him play, because that was never in doubt. What it was with Smith Rowe, it was all about the reports coming back from the club that he was loaned to. If the reports were positive, then it would prove that he'd built up his character. And it's interesting how Arsenal seem to want to send players up north to do that, because then there's always a possibility of them getting homesick. A player's recently been loaned out. Charlie Patino has been loaned out, I think, to Blackpool. And I thought that was a pretty strange decision. But then watching the series makes you realise that maybe that's the way to go. Obviously, with Saliba coming back from Marseille, you would think that would be for different reasons, to build up a different sort of character, or just give him a bit of development at another club, which obviously Nuno Tavares is there. And then another player who has appeared, Balogun, not much. He's not said much. He's just been talking with Saka a little bit in the canteen. So we haven't heard a lot of him, and we won't this season either, because he's off to Reims. Best of luck to him to play in France. And if it works like it has for Saliba, obviously it's a different club, then we certainly look forward to seeing him when he comes back with a season of lots of games, hopefully, under his belt. So it does seem to be a tactic anyway, this loaning out to build up character. And going back to Tierney for a moment, he spoke about the difficulty he had coming back from injury just to find out he was on the bench. But one of the things that's been really good about the series so far is that everybody, Everybody at the club seems lovable. Everybody seems industrious. They all work hard and they all deserve any success they get or will get in the future. So I'm certainly looking forward to the next episode because it's going to be all about Oba, I'm guessing. I obviously have a lot of respect for Oba as a footballer, particularly as a character even. I'm just looking forward to finding out something that perhaps don't already know. In this particular episode, I think Arteta showed his fallibility. I've always said he looks indestructible like Captain Scarlet. But in my view, playing You'll Never Walk Alone over loudspeakers at training was a mistake. It wasn't like a gigantic mistake, but it didn't really add anything. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm only watching it, obviously. But to me, I just didn't really see the point of that. I know why he did it, because he's trying to recreate the atmosphere of Anfield. And I think, yeah, maybe it works for some players. Who knows? Who knows? I'd have to ask the players. But I just personally didn't. Maybe he's just giving Liverpool too much respect. But then it is a very tough place to go. And I know it's a bit of a cliche, but it's extremely difficult to get results there. Although Arteta has in the past, when was it? 2012, I think, was an Arsenal victory and Arteta played in it. But he kept mentioning a time when the Reds were running around him and he just completely lost all his puff, all of his energy was gone. And he was trying to explain to the players that he didn't want that happening to them. But as I said before, it was really the altercation on the touchline with Klopp that I think caused the downfall and the damage. Anyway, the good news is Arteta's forever learning. So we can see how rapidly he's improving on this show. So I would recommend it if you do get the chance to watch it. It's well worth the time, and I don't say that very often, I can tell you now. So you can take it from me that All or Nothing so far is certainly more than worthwhile. I haven't got a word to describe it other than very, very good. So let's hope that some of you do get the chance to watch it, because as I said before, I don't think you'll be disappointed with it. Right, I think I'm going to leave it there. And don't forget, if you've got any questions for me, you can always send me a message. And of course, check out the website as well. So until the next time, is adios.